thank you for taking a ride on the Freedom Train podcast series. I'm your host, Dose of Ward. That's always ride with me is my good homie, Mr. Patrick Irvin. And remember, the Freedom Train is brought to you by PAX Inc. That's PACTSINC. And PAX Inc. is a black development organization aimed at developing the black community to its maximum potential through a focus on education and economics with a trace of hard work, honesty, and integrity. For more information, make sure you visit their website at www.pactsinc.org. That way you can learn more about the organization, how you can become a member of the organization, how you can donate, how you can learn the code of conduct that they created, how to get involved with the organization. And there's a Learning Center tab, and if you hover your mouse over that Learning Center, you get a drop-down box. And with that drop-down box, you'll get a whole lot of stuff like audio, politics, books, survival, legal cases, videos, and a store where you can purchase things and support the organization. So, once again, that website is www.pactsinc.org. And while you're online, make sure you visit our Freedom Train website at www.freedomtrainradio.com. That way you can learn more about myself, Patrick Enigma September, Shelby Davis, as well as Queen Candace, who is the newest podcaster, and she's the co-host of Shelby's World with Shelby Davis. So y'all make sure y'all tune in to that every Wednesday. Remember, you can get this Freedom Train podcast every Wednesday, Lessons from the Screen every Saturday, and the Fix Sports podcast will be returning the Monday after the Super Bowl. I think that's February 3rd. Fix Sports Podcast shall be back. And, you know, you get the Enigma Sep Hour every Friday live on YouTube and on the Freedom Train Radio website. It's really going down in the Vicky South. Pat.
What up?
I heard. No, I'm lying. I ain't hear nothing. What's going down, man?
Nothing much good. Brother.
You sound like a Jamaican robot, man.
Okay.
Did you know that?
I did not.
Well, now you know, brother. And what G.I. Joe told you? Didn't G.I. Joe tell you that knowing is half the battle?
Yes. Yes, he did, actually.
And so what you doing then?
I am battling. Because knowing is half of it, right?
So you going to battle half-assed?
No, not half-assed, just half-cocked.
Half knowing, huh? There you go.
Whoa, I did that. I get points.
But heck yeah, man. It's cold as hell up there? Because it's cold as hell down here.
Yeah, bruh. And that shit just, like, jumped out on you. Like.
I know.
It was chilling, and then it wasn't.
Right. I'm like, hold up, bro. That shit's aggressive out there, like 40-something degrees, 30, 40-something degrees. Hey, man, this Florida, cuz.
Bro, we were chilling, and then we wasn't. And I'm not sure what happened. Why did it do that?
It's cold, like, for real cold. Like, motherfucker, like, god damn, like, brisket shit.
Yeah.
Like, come on, Jack Frost, whatever, whoever you is, you need to chill out.
Yeah, ain't Jack Frost the, oh, wait, I'm thinking about, well, that was the name of the movie, right, Jack Frost?
Yeah, Jack Frost, a white man, too.
The little motherfucker, the little white dude that played too much and was, like, got turned into the little spirit of coldness and was running around fucking people shit up. The Guardians, that's what it was called.
You remember more than I do, I'll tell you that.
You don't know what I'm talking about, do you?
Hell nah. It's one of them Christmas cartoons.
Yeah, man, it's one of them. It's one of them three. I thought it was better than Frozen, but it ain't had no songs and shit. It's better than it's better than the second Frozen, I think. The first Frozen was actually pretty good.
I did see Frozen. I don't really remember too much of it.
The second Frozen actually wasn't bad either. You know what? I think I might have liked the second one better than the first one.
For real? You know, yeah, bro. I can't tell you nothing about it. I saw it. I can't tell you nothing about it, though. I'll be honest with you. I just remember a bunch of white girls shooting ice.
It wasn't a bunch of white. It was one white girl.
Oh. Well, see,
ice power.
See how rumors spread?
One white girl. Like, you talking about it was a bunch of them. It was like 40 of them. They always shooting ice.
Man, but I'm behind on my movies. I need to go see Harriet. I need to go see 1917. I need to go see Bad Boys 3.
Bad Boys 3 is out?
Yep, came out on the 17th.
Shit, I just got the new Terminator. I might watch that in the next few days, but I literally, like...
Yeah, that, I'm not... Well, I'm tired of the goddamn Terminator. Start coming back, shit.
Well, you know, I don't care for them. What ended up getting me back into them was when I stopped watching them all as, like, a part of the same sequel, the same series. When I just started watching them as, like, independent movies, I was able to get back into them. But if I was to sit back and just try to watch all these motherfuckers back to back to back, yeah, I agree with you.
But,
all right, man.
But Arnold old ass keeps showing up in every movie. As the Terminator he is, he's less and less effective because the evil T-2000s, the various versions, be so more advanced than he is. He just be in the goddamn way. It just help people get away for a little bit.
Well, but one of the things I did like about the newer Terminator movie was that fact, though. Like, they didn't try to make it like Arnold Schwarzenegger was still that dude. Like, it was like, nah, he's an old defective model. You know, he's still a fucking machine, but he ain't that dude. You know what I'm saying? Like, he ain't that machine. So I actually enjoyed that about the newer ones.
But that was fun.
I'm with you, man. I get it. I'm with you.
I am going to destroy you. No, you ain't. Well, sit your old ass down.
No, you ain't.
Hey, none of these new evil teeth scared of your old ass. You can't even shoot. You can't even. You ain't even got no projectiles, old ass model.
Well, now that part is most definitely facts.
that should break out in the old cracking session on Let Honor Ass Have It. Just your rested WD-40 needing ass, boy. You know what kind of liquid I'm made of, boy? Boy, I can travel through space, boy. You can't travel through shit, boy. That'd be funny.
You ain't even got but no projectiles.
Yeah. Anywho, man.
Yeah, that's what you said. Yeah, okay.
The last time you went hyper speed, bitch. Hey, man. Anyway, man, we got a podcast to do. You know how we do. We like to have some fun. But we got a couple topics and things. Four mentions and three topics. So our mentions are, we don't usually get into this type of stuff, but everybody keep talking about it. So we just got a couple of, well, Pat got more opinions than I do on the Prince Harry and Meghan thing, the whole saga where they're at now. So I'll talk about that a little bit.
Excuse me.
There's a virus called coronavirus that originated in China, and according to Fox News, its first case has been found in the U.S. So Pat gonna bring us up to speed on what coronavirus is, and I'm gonna talk about the coronavirus being in the U.S. Actually, we only got three mentions. So our third mention is an elementary school, a bunch of elementary school kids. Jet fuel was dumped on them when a Delta Boeing 777 had to make an emergency turnaround because of some of the failures with the plane. They dumped a whole lot of jet fuel on the kids. And Pat has experience working around jet fuel for a while, so he's going to tell us about some of the dangers that goes into that. So our stories are there were thousands of gun protesters who did a rally in, what was the rally in Richmond, Virginia, over the weekend. So we're going to talk about that, the significance of that. The Black News Channel that's been trying to launch here in Tallahassee, the 24-hour National Black News Channel, is finally supposed to launch very soon. So we're going to talk about that and its significance. And then also there's our last one. There's a story about a black guy in Miami who was in a restaurant eating, minding his business, was attacked by a white boy, ended up shooting a white boy. The white boy didn't get charged, but the black dude ended up getting charged and arrested and stuff. That's that bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
So let's start with the Prince Harry and Meghan thing. Pat, man, you've been ranting about this for a long time.
I have not been ranting. I've been.
You have, though.
I've been finding it extremely amusing.
Okay.
The reason why I find it amusing is because, like, look, so Harry and Meghan Markle, right? So everybody remember how big a deal it was when they got married.
She's changing, like, the course of human history for black girls and making it possible for all young black girls now to be princesses.
Exactly.
Like, it was no black princesses and queens existing in the world before her, doing her, and right now. But never mind.
No, right. So, exactly what you said. She's making history because prior to her, it was not possible for little black girls to become princesses. Even though, you know, we could make the whole argument about how technically she's not a black girl, and we can make the whole, I mean, you know, the biracial thing, I get it. I'm not saying one way or the other. I'm just saying people have those discussions.
If we want to be technical tabs about it, before I say that, let me just start by saying I, Joseph Ward, don't give a shit about none of it. Prince Harry and Meghan walked in front of me right now, I guarantee you 9 times out of 10, I probably wouldn't really know who the fuck they was.
I mean, I wouldn't.
Maybe Meghan more so than Harry. Hey, I wouldn't know who the fuck they were. But if we're going to be technical tests about this, she was not a princess.
Well, yeah.
She was marrying into the royal family. And even the position of Harry, before this move, or even during this move, or after this move, he had a whole lot of people in front of him before he would even touch close to the throne. So if we want to be technical about that. So.
No, right, 100%. So, and we can make, I'm just saying, we can make all these technical arguments, even the argument which isn't technical, which I think is relevant, because a lot of those other arguments I think aren't relevant. But even to the argument that I think is relevant, which is the argument that people were making, which is that now they can point to her as an example of what little black girls can be. And I'm looking at them like, but she don't look like a little black girl. Let's just be real about it. I can't, me having a brown-skinned caramel daughter, you know, I can't point to Meghan Markle and say that's an example of what's possible for you, because my daughter's going to be like, I might as well be pointing at Hillary Clinton or some shit.
Well, I would say this. What I find asinine about the whole idea around that is, it doesn't matter to me. It doesn't matter what skin tone she is in this sense. But the idea that now, because she married him, she's the example that black women can look at in the world, black girls can look at in the world to see that, hey, I too could be royalty, when there's black royalty all over the world. That's what I found most asinine about it all.
Well, I'm right there. I'm just saying that people can make all these they made all these arguments about how significant it was that she was marrying into the royal family and she was going to be a princess, this, that, and the third. And, you know, even if you wanted to nitpick, you could, but I chose to just let people be happy, even though I thought it was silly. Now, what I think is interesting now, and I'm using that word intentionally, what I think is interesting now is that now they are moving out of the royal palace. They're giving up their titles. They're giving up their duties and responsibilities as royalty to move to America to basically be celebrities. if all of you were spending all your time pointing at this woman as the example of black people being, a black woman can be a royal in Britain, what are you telling your daughter now that she's no longer a royal? What, like, how does that work? Because this was only like 2 years ago you were pointing to her as the example. And now she's not a royal anymore. Gave up her title. They both gave up, well, he gave up his title, which effectively means she gave up hers. Gave up the duties, gave up the responsibilities, gave up the respect and all of the things that come with being a royal to basically move to America to become a celebrity. What do you tell your daughters now?
He must have knew they didn't like him. They must have walked up to him, Hattie, we do not fuck with you. Something like that. I know it's a horrible action, but they must have walked up to him and told him, we do not like you, boy. We do not like you. Because I ain't giving up my title. Fuck that shit. I ain't giving up my title, dog.
And so,
not for you.
So I don't know. And I don't know because I've been, you know, there have been people out there talking about he's been trying to leave. He hasn't enjoyed. I didn't really get into all of the details of why they're leaving.
That had to be it.
But I do think it's interesting on a couple of levels. Just that one question to me, though, is why I've been kind of talking about it. Because I'm like, y'all spend so much time pointing to this lady as an example of a black woman, blah, blah, blah. And now, 2-3 years later, she's no longer that. What do you tell all of the people you told to look at her as an example of what's possible? Okay, now they can see that it's possible, and they can also see what the world can do in response to it.
But let's just be real. Let's act like this not going to be twisted to some love story, and they're going to make a movie about this in the coming years.
Unless they end up divorced.
But even it's still a movie because it's a grand gesture. It could be seen as a grand gesture of love and romance and all the other stuff that has been fed to a lot of us over the years. So, you know, it's a twist of fate, but it's love conquers all and love rules. So they win. Ta-da. And you just mad, Pat. Ta-da.
I mean, look, bro, it's totally, totally possible. I'm not saying it's not possible. I just think it's amusing.
Ta-da! So, I mean, but hey, like I say, I ain't giving up my title, but I don't really give a shit at the end of the day. But I do see some of the technicalities. Like, if I were going to argue and give a shit, I could see some of the technicalities that people would come with. But,
I don't.
I wasn't trying to. Never mind. I almost let bad Joe out. he almost came out.
So that's where I'm at with it. It's just you know, it's just amusing to me how that whole thing works like that. Like,
right.
You know, so that's what I've been on. And I'm gonna be honest, I haven't gotten any good answers. I've had some people try to answer me. I have. But I haven't gotten any good answers so far. So, to me, there's a bigger story here at work. There's a bigger cultural lesson here. But this is a mention. We're not going to get into it. So, right. You know.
Hey. But, you know, if you can, get into it. If you're like me, keep doing what you do.
I don't really care that much. I really just find it interesting. Yeah, I just wanted you to
rant on it, rant about it, because I think it's funny.
Oh, no. So I did a pretty good job of not ranting, though.
I'm letting Bad Joe out more. Stop suppressing Bad Joe. So I wanted you to rant about it because I just thought it was funny. So that's what I mentioned this stuff.
I'm not gonna rant about it because I understand how fickle people are about it. No,
it's all good, B. It's all good, B. All right, so our second mention is the coronavirus. Pat, what the hell is the coronavirus? And why should we care?
The coronavirus is a new form of pneumonia that's coming around. It started out in a city in Japan, in China, and then it spread from there. And it's just been tripling, or it's been growing in numbers. The number of diagnosed cases has just been exploding exponentially over the past week, going from a couple here, a couple there, to now hundreds all over the place. And they're suspecting that as many as thousands of people have been infected. They've instituted various different disease control mechanisms in China, and various countries have instituted various disease control mechanisms at their port of entry, from airports or airplanes that are arriving from China, certain places in China. It's already killed 4 people, last I checked. And they're expecting that number to rise, especially as more and more people get infected. So it is something that's deadly. It's something that can kill you. And it's something that they've confirmed can be passed person to person. So, and it's passed through the same methods that most cold or flu type things are passed by. Coughing on somebody, sneezing on somebody, touching them, shaking hands, stuff like that, touching surfaces with the virus on it. So the ways that it can be transmitted are similar to other ways that things can be transmitted. Again, this virus, it's an upper respiratory infection at the end of the day. So it causes running noses, you can have a headache, cough, sore throat, fever, and you will in general feel sick. But again, what I thought was most significant about it was just the rate of transfer, the rate that infected cases are growing, is something that was extremely significant for me, something that was worrying, and the fact that Chinese New Year is actually this Saturday. And that is, it's a Chinese celebration, but it's something that has millions and millions of people from all over the globe venturing into China to participate in or to witness the festivities. And it's something that is not getting out very well. Like, there aren't a lot of people talking about it right now. So, and even if there were, a lot of people have already bought their tickets. And we've spoke before about how people often travel to areas and don't do their due research, due diligence about what's going on in the areas that they're traveling to. So I just saw it as a potential where you could find a global epidemic starting because a bunch of people going to China for the Chinese New Year. They catch something, they bring it home with them, and now you have a situation happening in damn near every country on the globe, with the exception of maybe a few African nations. But I'm pretty sure that if it hits every other country, then it's going to hit all those countries in Africa and all those countries in other places where people typically don't go back to, or blah, 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 blah either. So I just thought it was significant because we could be looking at the early stages of a global epidemic.
I see, man. But you know what I thought, what I think is kind of significant? The word pneumonia has a P in it and no W. Ain't got a bitch.
Why would there be a W in pneumonia?
How you spell pneumonia with a P but no W?
Why would there be a W in pneumonia?
Pneumonia. Duh, Pat. What school you went to?
W is not needed to make the new sound.
I believe the W is
responsible for the ending sound of the word new. New.
Yeah. I've been thinking about that one for a long time. Nah, that's funny, though. So coronavirus, according to, this is an article I just found with Fox News. So it says at least one person in the United States is infected with the mysterious pneumonia-like virus that has killed at least 6 people and sickened some 300 others since the illness was first reported in the Chinese city of Wuhan. The case of the new coronavirus was confirmed in a man in Seattle, Washington. The man arrived in the U.S. last week before officials with the CDC and the U.S. Customs Border Protection announced enhanced health screenings for airline passengers arriving from or traveling through the Wuhan province. San Francisco International Airport, John F. Kennedy International Airport, and Los Angeles International Airport all began the initiative on January 17th. The patient, who was not identified, is a resident of the U.S. and is in stable condition, CDC officials said during Tuesday in a news conference. The patient is isolated at the hospital. He is being treated at and poses very little risk to medical staff and the public. Officials said the man was reportedly aware of the outbreak affecting Wuhan before falling ill and proactively reached out to state health officials when he began experiencing symptoms, which have begun reported to include fever, cough, and shortness of breath. So motherfucker knew it still went. So the patient did not arrive on a direct flight from Wuhan. Many people on more than one flight may have been exposed to the illness, old pussy boy, which officials this week confirmed is transmittable between humans. Officials are not working to determine who may be at risk. Dr. Scott Lindquist of Washington State Epidemiologist for Communicable Diseases said during the news conference, that's what he said. So, I was reading something earlier. It was saying some of the different areas. So the current coronavirus outbreak now has affected the U.S., China, Thailand, South Korea, and Japan. So they're saying this buddy knew about it while he was over there, got sick, and came back exposed to others. Well, goddamn, bro.
Hey.
So he just don't care, do it.
Nah. Fuck your life. Fuck his life.
That's why. But we all know what makes that significant to us is if it does, if that is something that is an outbreak in the United States, we all know that the poor people are affected the worst, usually first and the worst, or even not first, but the worst, and a lot of poor people are our people. And poor people can't afford to be sick, not with something like this.
Now, and that's really the key thing, is exactly what you just said. Poor people can't afford to be sick. Typically, they don't have the resources set aside to be able to sustain themselves through a sickness. And that's really what happens. So if a poor person, you know, a wealthy person, or even somebody that's not wealthy but just doing okay for themselves, if they get sick, a lot of the times they have the resources to continue on at least for a brief period of time to while they get better. Poor people don't have that luxury. Like, you know, you got a lot of poor people. If they miss one day of work, they're going to be assed out. So they go to work no matter what. Sick, blah, blah, blah. And then that leads to the potential for other people to get sick. You know, we see the same thing with, especially with regards to, and it's not just poor people at work, but they do the same thing with their kids, because they oftentimes have trouble finding somebody to watch their kids if they have to go to work and their kids do have to stay home from school. So in those situations, they might very well send their kids to school with cold-like symptoms, thinking that it's just a cold.
I mean, but also it depends on the mentality of the parent. Because, you know, a lot of times when we grew up, our kids went sick all the time because the parents didn't believe them. Our parents were like very old school, and it's like, hey, I went to school sick. You go to school sick. So with something like this, you know, how do you fight it? That would be the first question. How do you fight something, some foreign thing like this? Now, of course, we see the CDC knows about it, so things can be put in place, but you still have to learn how to fight it, though, and that takes time.
Right. Absolutely.
So.
Absolutely.
So that's something to look out, people. I mean, coronavirus, make sure you taking care of yourselves. Really make sure you take care of yourself. Don't just let something creep up on you. But I do feel sorry for people who are in food deserts and things like that, because they can only do so much.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. All right. Our third mention is this big-ass airplane dropped jet fuel on a elementary school in Los Angeles. Pat, you brought this to my attention, man.
Yeah, actually, it happened right as we were recording the show last week. I think it happened maybe an hour before we recorded, and I found out about it. Actually, while we were recording, something came up across my phone, basically, you know, laying out what had happened. And I wanted to kind of interject it into that show, but, you know, things being what they were, didn't get a chance to. So, yeah.
Man, that's crazy. So an airplane returned to Los Angeles International Airport on Tuesday morning, dropped jet fuel onto a school playground, dousing several students at Park Avenue Elementary School in Cudahy, I guess it's Cudahy, whatever the fuck is that, whatever. So Delta Flight 89, a Boeing 777, had taken off from LAX with more than 140 passengers on board and was en route to Shanghai when it turned around and headed back to the LA airport. Shortly after takeoff, Flight 89 from LAX to Shanghai experienced an engine issue requiring the aircraft to return quickly to LAX. Delta said in a statement released Tuesday night, the aircraft landed safely after a release of fuel, which was required as part of normal procedure to reach a safe landing weight. Delta is in touch with Los Angeles World Airports and the LA County Fire Department, as well as community leaders, and shares concerns regarding reports of minor injuries to adults and children at schools in the area. The plane is 20 years old and makes daily flights from L.A. to Shanghai in recent weeks. In recent weeks, the plane had also made trips from L.A. to Paris to Tokyo. According to Flight Trader 24, Tuesday flight never got above 8,000 feet and was about 2,300 feet when it passed over a school at 11:53 a.m., flight is typically a 13-hour nonstop. This one lasted about 25 minutes. At 11:47 a.m., the L.A. Fire Department firefighter radio that they were responding to a call at LAX. We have a Boeing 777 call sign Delta 89 reporting a compressor stall, 181 souls on board, 12 hours of fuel, ETA less than 5 minutes. There was the correspondence from the firefighter. When the compressor of the airplane's engine stalls, it can cause the loss of airflow through the engine, which can cause the engine to fail. Let me go a little further. It said a total of 60 patients were treated, at least 20 of them children. Los Angeles County Fire Department said that more than 70 firefighters and paramedics headed to Park School Elementary, but 20 children and 11 adults were treated for minor injuries. No one was taken to the hospital. Additionally, six people at Tweedy Elementary School and six at St. Gabriel Elementary in Southgate were affected. That's one adult at Graham Elementary School. L.A. City Fire treated 16 patients at Jordan High School in Los Angeles and 93rd Street Elementary in Green Meadow. Imagine being outside with some damn kids and all of a sudden jet fuel just drop out the sky. I'd be pissed.
Well, when you say it
especially
like that.
For me, it'd be, I have my good outfit on, too. I'm a real good outfit. I'm talking about, I probably came to school feeling sexy, trying to stunt or something. I have my good outfit, my good pants, and my good shirt, and the jet fuel fall on it, and I ain't got no good outfit no more. That'd be me. But the significance of the jet fuel. Now, the last time we talked about this on our pre-show talk, you had a couple names and stuff, because I'm not familiar. You're a little more familiar, but what is this jet fuel, and why is this jet fuel? Why are you concerned about long-term effects?
Well, so jet fuel, and I'm not sure if this is JP-8. JP-8 is when I was in the Air Force, for those that haven't figured it out from listening to other shows. And It's the jet engine fuel that we use to refuel C-5 aircraft, specifically because that's the aircraft that I was a crew chief for, the C-5s. We also use it on C-17s, which I'm familiar with, because I worked on those a little bit as well. So JP-8 is a type of fuel that is used to fuel aircraft, to fuel jet engines specifically, and it's something that we get exposed to on a daily basis in the military. You breathe it in, it sprays all over you. You know, it gets on your skin. It gets in your skin, because anything that gets on your skin gets in your skin and therefore in your body. And the concern I have is there have been a number of reports, studies. There have been a number of studies that have also confirmed that there is a correlation. Now, nothing has really confirmed a causative relationship. There have been studies that have suggested causation, but most of the studies have definitely confirmed that there is something happening there with this fuel interacts with certain components of the body and the brain and causes a level of emotional instability, skin disorders, and a number of other things that happen to the body when it gets inside of the body. And as you would expect, when something that's usually used as fuel gets inside of the body, or anything that's not intended to be inside of the body gets inside of the body. And I can assure you, your body is not creating JP-8 in any amounts inside of itself. So that's my concern, because as somebody that worked in the military, that's been something that I have been working with and working through myself, is dealing with some of the emotional trauma and the emotional instability of sorts that can come, that I was finding myself in these places where I just felt these different types of ways, and I didn't know why I felt that way, because the things that happened in my younger years before I joined the military, I would be able to brush that off. That's not really a big deal. After the military, and I'm not blaming it solely on JP-8 or the military. Well, I am blaming it solely on the military, but not blaming it solely on JP-8. But after the military, it became a lot harder to keep certain emotions in check and to keep certain things in check. I still do it, but it's a lot more difficult. That's what led me into researching all of the different chemicals and things that I was exposed to as a crew chief in the military. And JP-8 is not benign. It's not a substance. Jet engine fuel in general is not a benign substance that you can just wash off with soap and water, which is what they did when they disinfected these kids. It is something that would, now you have to monitor, and I know they said they're going to monitor these kids, but they're probably going to monitor them for the next 3 to 6 months. No. You need to monitor these kids potentially for the rest of their lives. And not just these kids, but the entire community that had jet engine fuel dropped on them. We're not talking about a benign substance that has no impact and no long-term ramifications. There are studies that show that getting this stuff in you, especially in large quantities, and if they did a fuel dump, I'm assuming that these people got it on them in large quantities, especially from some of the reports I read of people having headaches and people eyes burning and people tasting it and smelling it and all that other stuff. They got exposed to a decent quantity of it. So I'm concerned about the long-term effects it's going to have on their emotional stability and on just in general their skin health as well as their respiratory health. As well as any potential visual problems they might have from getting it in their eyes. And I know this is going to sound crazy too, but I'm just going to go ahead and say it. When we're already living in a society where white people are going crazy, and I do believe this was from the reports I read, this was a white community in a white school, we don't need anything else making white people any crazier than they already are.
No, but that's because they're talking about it like it's just something casual, like something just happened all the time. Hey, man, you know we dropped a little jet fuel on somebody. Man, ain't nothing. You know, wash it off. Everybody be good. Like, bitch, you just dropped jet engine fuel on the motherfucker head. Like, really? And you can't just like treat that as if it's just nothing. As you can't treat it like somebody had some mud splashed on it. Like, come on, for real? I'd be suing the hell out of them.
Yeah, I mean, there is definite, but see, here's the deal. Everybody, I'm sure everybody in that community, or most people in that community, have been convinced that it's not a big deal. You'll be okay. Just wash it off. You know, and even with me in the military getting sprayed every single day with the shit, it's not a big deal. Just I would go home reeking of jet engine fuel to the point where some days I have to take my clothes off outside before I went in the house. So, you know, maybe that has something to do with it too, just the sheer quantity of it that I got exposed to. But at the end of the day, it has these effects, it has these capabilities to be damaging to people, and I think it should be taken a lot more seriously than it is.
Right. I'm with you, though. Definitely needs to be. It definitely needs to be, because it's not every day that jet fuel just gets dropped on kids, especially children, elementary school children. That could, like, you know, like you say, have developmental issues,
right,
man. Affect them developing mentally, physically, emotionally, all those things.
And that in itself is another issue where, you know, it very well could affect these kids, because they're young kids. You know, it could have a lasting impact. We just don't know what could happen to these kids because they're still developing, they're still growing.
Right. That's real though. So man, let's keep this train rolling. Hey, so thousands of pro-gun protesters got together in Richmond for a peaceful rally. I thought that was interesting from the get, that when a whole bunch of white people get together with guns, it's one, labeled a peaceful rally, and two, from what I've seen, ain't nothing really happened for a bunch of white people with guns. But let a small percentage of black people with guns get together, it's goddamn World War 12 out there.
Oh, yeah.
America funny, ain't it?
Oh, yeah.
America ain't funny. America just racist and shit. That's it. So thousands of gun owners and gun rights supporters gathered Monday at Virginia's Capitol for a peaceful day to address our legislature that appeared to generate none of the violence feared by some state legislators. Many demonstrators opposed gun restrictions, openly displayed military-style semi-automatic rifles. Other wore orange gun save lives stickers as the crowd chanted USA and sang the national anthem. That shit funny. Signs read, "Come and take it," in Second Amendment sanctuary. But despite warnings from Governor Ralph Northam, the law enforced that out-of-state hate groups and militias may incite violence, the protest did not grow heated. Gene Lepley, spokesperson of the Rally Day Information Center in Richmond, said no arrests has been made. Police estimated the size of the crowd was between 7,000 and 22,000 people. That was inside that Capitol Square. Demonstrator Matthew French, who's 40 years old, from Bland, Virginia, called the rally a success, said he hoped the large peaceful crowd would help sway legislators. The sheer numbers here speaks for itself, he said. I hope our legislators will back off. Today was the civil rights march of my life. All right. Tom Rowe, 49, of West Point, Virginia, said he was happy to see no violence. "You got thousands of guns and not a single bullet fired," he said. Earlier, a heavy police presence greeted rallygoers calmly lining up to enter the state capitol, where they had to push through the security checkpoint. So that's the overall gist of it. You know, had a bunch of people protesting the restrictions that they want to put on the guns for buying guns and owning guns. And a lot of pro-gun people are upset about that. But, you know, looking at this many ways. For one, like I said in the opening, a whole bunch of white boys, white people, period, was able to gather up in the public place with guns, and police didn't really mess with them. So, America, America, right? Secondly, black people need to be also looking at gun right restrictions and gun right laws and those things there and how it plays out, because I believe that black people are the one group in America who needs to own guns and really be looking at gun laws, because black people are the victims of racist attacks so many times, so often. So we need to be able to protect ourselves. And I just believe this is something that we should be looking at as far as these gun restrictions, and not be drinking the Kool-Aid of restricting ourselves out of being able to protect ourselves. How you feel, Pat?
I mean, the whole gun debate to me is interesting. I agree with what you said. I do think black people need to take owning guns a little bit more serious. And one of the reasons I feel that way is because the whole gun rights argument is made off the strength of black folk owning guns. I mean, you're talking about the great flip-flop of the Republican Party and of the NRA in general. You know, it wasn't until the Black Panthers started donning guns in California that all of a sudden, you know, we got the regulations that we got. And in the moment we got those regulations in place, that was when everybody started talking about we got to restrict gun rights, we got to restrict this, we got to restrict that. So I do think it's an interesting point that black people were instrumental in creating the limited gun regulations we have. And by and large, they worked to the effect that they were designed to work for. Black people don't have guns and don't really seem to want to have them for various different fears, from being scared to get caught with one and getting killed just for having it, to having somebody, a kid or something in the house, get shot with a gun that you own. There are a bunch of different fears black people have for having it. But I do think that black people, from that perspective of black people, we definitely need to get more serious about gun rights. We need to get more active in owning weapons, and we need to take advantage of what we can do right now that we can do it, because I do believe that there's going to come a time where black people not being able to adequately defend themselves is going to cost us dearly, a lot more than it already has.
Right, yeah, that's what I was going to say, because we already truly can't adequately defend ourselves, no matter how much we may think we can. That's ignorance and arrogance. I already believe that we're at a great point, and we've been at a great point in history. We just have to be real with ourselves, where we really haven't been able to adequately defend ourselves since the late 1400s. Because if we could adequately defend ourselves, we wouldn't be here, not under these conditions. Mm-hmm. So if we want to be real about it, but like you say, to be even more hamstrung by not being able to properly arm ourselves is what we need to be thinking about, and not just falling for the okie doke or just going along with what people are saying, all these different things. Like, we really have to look at what's the best ways for us to protect ourselves. We don't want violent gun violence in our communities, but we don't want to be vulnerable to our enemies. And so one thing in that is, you know, we the violence in our communities, we have to stop looking at the surface level at that. Because I think that goes into a lot of the emotional energy that is spread when we're talking about gun ownership and things, because a lot of the shootings that happen within our own communities. But a lot of that has to do with the system of white supremacy that we live under. Like, we live in a system that creates rich and poor. And we know in poor societies, you're going to have more amounts of crime and all these things because that's the way it's created to exist.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's being able to look at that when we're talking about being able to stop the gun violence within our community. Like, I think a lot of times we're surface level about it. We just, hey, man, let's just get the guns off the street. Well, you're not going to get the guns off the street. They keep getting put in the streets.
Right.
And people can turn in guns, but if you're still in these environments and you still have this energy flowing from things you've done, you just make yourself a lot more vulnerable.
Well, the truth of the matter is, and I keep, you know, black people are conservative in nature. We are.
We are.
And so a lot of the Republican talking points, we don't like the Republican because they don't like us, but a lot of their talking points do make a lot of sense for the thinking that black people would be better off considering. And I'm not endorsing the Republican Party at all, so let me say that because I know people are going to be like, sound like he endorsing. No, I'm not.
Look, to that. Fuck you if you got a problem with anybody endorsing any party that they roll with. Somebody want to roll with a party, they can roll with a party. Because the party you with trash anyway. Ain't none of these goddamn parties doing nothing for us. I just want to put that piece out.
Nah, and I appreciate it. It's true. Because you're right. Ain't none of the other parties really doing shit for us. But the thing I was getting to was the Republican parties do have it right, in my opinion, when they say that if you demand that people turn in guns, the only people left with guns are going to be the people that are not going to turn in their laws because they break
right.
their guns because they're breaking the, they're already using their guns to break the law. So
right.
you end up disarming the public and not really doing. Now, I'm not saying you won't reduce the level of gun violence in certain instances, because the facts are the less guns are on the streets, the less opportunities for gun shootings there are. So by reducing the number of guns on the streets, true, you do reduce the opportunity for gun violence. I'm not discounting that. But what I'm saying is you also do other things in the community, like disarm those people who legitimately have a reason for wanting a gun, such as self-defense and protecting their families. And that shouldn't be the answer. Like, that shouldn't be where we go. So, and we talk about this all the time. There is, so when you talk about the gun situation in the black community, we are very soft in our stances. Nobody wants to address the core issue, which is lack, which is the poverty component of it. I'm not saying black people don't talk about it, but typically when we're having these gun debates, you know, it centers around, do we give up our guns or do we keep our guns? There's a whole other section of the conversation that needs to be had that has nothing to do with who has a gun and everything to do with who has resources, who has access to resources. By resources, I don't just mean money. We've talked about this before. We're talking about mental health resources to make sure your mind is fucking right, physical therapy resources, health-related resources, physical health-related resources, informational resources, soothing resources, familiar resources, resources that provide regular opportunities for various other things that you need, intellectual resources. People need resources. You give people a situation to where they feel like they have other avenues and ways to settle disputes, and you don't have to worry about taking people's guns. But that's a whole separate conversation, I guess.
Well, also, I mean, one of the talking points, I do agree with them when they, you know, the left, the people on the left, when something happened that's around the gun violence, they blame the gun, not the person. And I think that's idiotic to only look at the gun, because you could take guns off the street, but how is that? That's not going to quell violence. So you won't have gun violence, but you still have violence. So is our goal to only stop gun violence, or is this to stop violence? Period. Because if our goal is to only get only stop gun violence, then go ahead with what you're doing. But if it's to reduce violence, like for real in real life, like we got to dig deeper than that and stop. Like a gun with nobody holding it, nobody using it, it's not a threat. But a gun in the hand of a crazy person or somebody who's unstable, that's the issue.
That's again where we go back to. People like to boil things down so narrowly that they miss a lot of the bigger issues that are present. You know, people have such a hard on about guns, and it's a simple solution too. And that's, I think that's one of the things that's really attractive about it, is that it's just so fucking simple. Well, if we want to stop gun violence, we need to get all the guns off the street. That's about it. You know, that's really elementary style logic. You know, like, that's the answer you would expect, and I'm not insulting anybody's intelligence, but that's the answer you would expect from an elementary schooler. Well, why did such and such shoot such and such? Because he had a gun. Well, how do you solve this problem? You take the gun from him.
Now, even to that, we've
all talked to plenty of elementary schoolers who, if you give them that same scenario, and you said, well, Tommy shot up his school. Well, why did Tommy do that? The only way they would say because he had a gun is if somebody told them because he had a gun. Otherwise, if you probe kids, they are intuitively deeper than that. So even that might be an insult to children to say that that's a child's logic, because it's really not. I don't know where these people get off with thinking that that's going to be the fix to our problems. I really don't know. But it's not. It's just not.
Right. Yeah. I think there are multiple ways to look at it, but I also think a lot of the Democrats, they full of shit, because they use those talking points to pull at people's emotional strength. Because they know these are things that get people going, so that's why they use those lines, they use those ideas and thoughts and these talking points, and people go for them. People go for them. I mean, especially if you have been a victim yourself, or a family member been a victim of gun violence and things, and it's an emotional strain for you, it gets tugged. So I think that's a cheap shot by a lot of the people on the left. So, I mean, you know, once again, both sides are trash, but we can see, like, you can not be a Democrat and see some ideas that are good or bad, and same can be said for the Republican. You cannot be a Republican and see some ideas that make sense and some ideas that don't make sense. So, but in the gun debate, I think we as black people, we have to stop looking at it from any viewpoint, anybody else, and look at it from our viewpoint. How does it benefit us giving up our guns, especially if you got police and all these white hate groups and all these other groups who already know, we already know they want to kill us. Why would we make ourselves more vulnerable? Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not saying that gun laws don't need to be tweaked. All I'm saying is we need to think twice. We should think twice about how we support restricting gun laws, restricting ourselves as owners of guns.
Right. I mean, because they definitely need to be tweaked. I don't think either one of us are saying that gun laws don't need to be tweaked. But I definitely agree with you in saying that we definitely need to be careful about how we move forward.
Right. So, yeah, it is. All right, so our next topic is Black News Channel set to launch. So they've been trying to launch this new channel for a long time up here in Tallahassee. Originally, it was supposed to be housed in FAMU's journalism school, but that didn't work out. And so after all these years, the news channel, they say it's is finally set to launch February 10th. So let me read a little bit for you. And it says, live from Tallahassee, Florida, is the Black News Channel. So I guess that's going to be the name of it, the Black News Channel. Ain't nothing wrong with that. After more than a decade of planning, so it's been a long ass time. I felt like it, I was finna say it'd been about 10 years, but I wasn't really sure. But after about a decade of planning, securing investors and several false starts, the launch of the 24-hour national cable news channel targeting Black viewers now is set for February 10th. The network was hyped last year by a bevy of promotional appearances from California to New York. Black News Channel is the brainchild of former Republican U.S. Representative J.C. Watts, who serves as chairman and veteran television manager, Bob Brilliante, I guess, as chief executive officer. Oops, if you don't like Republicans, you can't watch this Black News Channel. Watts and Brilliante, however you say his name, announced the launch in November 2018. And spent the better part of last year showing up a management team, leasing space, hiring studio designers and on-air talent, and pouring millions of dollars into renovating and outfitting a location. And while the ambitious vision has been greeted in the past with some skepticism, it got its biggest boost last October. Jacksonville Jaguars owner and billionaire businessman Shahid Saad Khan announced that he's the majority investor in the network. Oh, it ain't Black owned no more. It ain't Black owned. Yeah. All right, which promises to. It ain't Black owned no more. But it's Black owned. God damn. But it's partly Black owned. It's a Black owner part of it, and it's targeting Black people. So, yay. So, and that the network which promotes. Which promises to capture an audience hungry for news and information targeting Black viewers. I believe there's an undeniable calling for everything the Black News Channel will deliver for African-American television audiences who have historically been underserved, Khan said in a news release. My decision to invest is an easy one because we get to answer that calling. So Khan play both sides of the fence too, because Khan, you know, NFL owner, so they be in on that white people stuff and that racist stuff with shutting out Kaepernick and all that other stuff, and he be doing all that other stuff with them owners. So he play both sides of the fence. We see you, Khan. We see you. So this is a chance for me to make an impact on how African Americans report and consume news and related programming, how their voices are amplified and heard, and how all of us can better connect socially, culturally, economically, and more. Brilliante and Khan and his family have been working with the management team for the past 2 years. The New York Post has reported Khan's investments as exceeding $25 million. So, yeah, man. So, Black News Channel, man. That's the name of it gonna be. Hold up now. Now if you okay, I don't know. But in the picture, I guess this is a video, they have a Black dude and a white dude look like the anchors or whatever. And they say Black News Channel. It kinda threw me off because the white dude look like an anchor, but I guess I don't know. It ain't really Black owned, but it's targeting Black people, so I don't know. Thoughts, Pat, thoughts. Go ahead. Full bad I'm joke come out.
I ain't got no jokes. I ain't got no thoughts. I mean, it's really, even if it was 100% Black owned, at this point, you know, I'm cynical. I need to see. You know what I'm saying? Like, I need to see the content, because just being Black owned ain't enough. Now, I will always applaud and be happy about Black people getting together and pulling something off. But I'm not just going to salute it just off strength of it being Black people.
Well, yeah, that gets to the Black progress versus white progress talk.
Right. So that's kind of where I'm at with it. And then the moment you say it ain't Black owned no more, because that's also thing I'm always waiting on.
Well, to be, if we want to be technical, we got to be fair and be technical. It's partly Black owned, but it's majority. The majority of it's not owned by a Black person, but it does have Black ownership.
Yeah, partly Black owned, though, that doesn't, Like, so what? Like that doesn't. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, but that does matter because there is black ownership, there is black stake in it.
But that's you going back to black people having a seat at the table.
Well, not necessarily. It is, but it isn't. But it's being able to have skin in the game. You are making money from this. These are dollars that will somehow, some way generate into some black pocket. So it's like you're not all the way out of the game on this, especially if something like this, especially if it blow. I mean, of course, it's not the majority of it, but it's not like none of it would come back to benefit black people. Now, how would the money affect a larger community? That's a whole other question. But, you know, if we want to get technical.
If we going to do that, though, we go back and revisit the whole Jay-Z and NFL thing. I mean, that's black ownership.
Well, this is different, though, because this is like Jay-Z ain't really got no ownership in that. Jay-Z just a figurehead with that, though.
I don't know. I don't really see a whole lot of difference.
Well, ownership is the difference, though.
Being a minority owner. Yeah, but it's not. It's, if you're a minority owner, how much power do you really have?
The power argument. Let's be real. The power argument don't really need to be made. We know the majority owner has all the power. The majority of the power. The majority owner does. Now, it's not for me. It's not necessarily looking at the power aspect. It just at least there's some black ownership in it. You know.
I get that argument.
Because, I mean, that does help to affect us. It depends on the black people, because it could be some skin not can. But if it's skin who can, then that does affect the quality of the programming that we get as well.
Absolutely.
So, February 10th, though, man, y'all check it out, man. Black News Channel coming straight, fresh out of Tallahassee, Florida, straight out the South. I think they say the building is in Killarn area. They built in Killarn area, so that's like the north side of town, white side of town.
Yeah, I was going to say, the white people side of town still.
Yeah, it was supposed to be in FAMU journalism school, but that didn't work out.
I see.
Anywho, our last topic is some bullshit in American justice. So the title of the article that I'm looking at is surveillance footage shows attack shooting at North Miami restaurant. But basically, like, let me read this, and I'm gonna give you my brief hit first. So, one man is behind bars at the bizarre back and forth in a popular South Florida restaurant led the victim becoming a shooting suspect, police said. According to North Miami police officials, 21-year-old Mario Rowe was minding his own business, eating his food inside Licking Miami, located at Northwest 125th Street and 7th Avenue, when 24-year-old Henry Pumar Cristo stood up and began striking him on Tuesday night. He stood up and started punching the dude. So this white dude punching the black dude. Police say surveillance video showed that Rose said nothing to the white dude to instigate the altercation. But after being hit and leaving the area, Rose returned with the firearm and shot Palmer outside the restaurant. Rose was arrested and charged with aggravated battery with the weapon. Palmer Crystal has not been arrested and charged and was in stable condition at the local hospital. What type of caucasity is that? That's a total article. But what type of caucasity is that? Hold up now. So the white dude on camera assaulting the black dude. The black dude defends himself. And the black dude arrested. What happened to stand your ground? Why? Once again, stand your ground only really means that when white people do stuff with guns, it works with them. It rarely works with black people. This type of bullshit.
So the white dude was attacking the black dude.
Right.
They got it on camera.
Right.
And they didn't do nothing.
Right. The black dude got arrested for aggravated assault with the weapon for defending himself against the white dude who decided to assault him for nothing.
Hmm.
America, right? Florida. This is in Florida. South Florida. Hey. Florida be earning them Florida. People in Florida be earning them Florida man type.
Yeah,
that's crazy though, man. That's crazy.
Wild.
Like, but it's once again it's another indictment of what white privilege is and just how bullshit American justice is. I mean, I can out the blue get assaulted, defend myself, and still get arrested by a black dude, a black person in America, with a gun, has a more likely chance of everything going wrong. And see, that's another angle when it comes to those gun protests and things. It's like they never those especially a lot of those white dudes, they don't give a shit about nobody else but them. So they'll never be looking at how we are negatively affected by gun laws. So when we talk about changing gun laws, we change things or the way laws are enforced. The way laws are enforced, and a lot of laws need to be changed, but it's mostly the enforcement or lack of enforcement of laws or bitch-ass enforcement of laws. Because how does this situation have, like, in a society that's supposed to be this and that, whatever, we know it ain't just, we know South Florida just as racist as goddamn South Georgia, right? But it's just crazy to me, like, when I first read the story, and I'm just like, are y'all like, you can't be serious, man. Like, you really can't be serious that this dude did nothing but defend himself, and now he has to be arrested for defending himself, and the white boy don't get nothing, and it's on camera? Like, are you serious? It just make you mad, though. Like, these are the stories that make you mad. You ask questions because that's what you're used to, but you know the answers to the questions. America mm-hmm. is racist and ain't shit.
Yeah, I ain't even got nothing to add to that.
I mean, that's just crazy, man. It's unfortunate for this dude, Tomario Rowe. It's unfortunate for him that he has to go through this just for defending himself. So what, he's just supposed to send in and let the white boy beat him up? Mm-hmm. Is that what the law wants? Just as a black person, just supposed to let the white dude just assault you?
Joe, why are you acting surprised?
I'm not surprised. I'm mad. I'm just aggravated. I'm more so aggravated than upset or mad. Just aggravated that. Come on, man. Again. But then it's like, we just had a conversation about gun rights and things, and it's like, once again, similar to like a lot of these movements, women's marches, a lot of these movements who want to use black energy but don't want to defend black people as well. So we have to, this is just another reminder of the true America that we live in and how we have to work even harder to protect ourselves and to do what we need to do to organize ourselves. The more organized we are, the better protected we are. The more we work together, the better protected we are. The more we are divided, the more we are dispersed, the more we are working as individuals, the less, the more vulnerable we are. Y'all better act like y'all know.
I agree.
Hey, man. So, that's just real, man. We have to not live in a fairy tale. Really, really take a critical look at this world that we live in and how things around us are turning out and not just live in ideal land. I think a lot of times, especially us black people, our downfalls is we live in ideal land. And we want these ideas and we fall for these ideas that America plants in our heads. They use Martin Luther King and some of his speeches, even though the man had a whole bunch of literature that nobody looks at. But they use, especially the I Have a Dream speech, and him talking about equality, you know, these things here. They make it seem like it was all good. But it really wasn't all good then, and it still ain't all good now. America is not the greatest place for black. I don't even know in the world, even in Africa right now, may not be the greatest place for black people just because of the presence of white supremacy in the world and its effect on Africa. Also, the presence of the Asians in Africa and its effect on the Africans, because African people around the world are being oppressed, picked on, and depressed, and suppressed, and all these things here. And us in America, we're no different, even though we have a best chance of defending ourselves or uplifting ourselves. Our mental programming is at an all-time level. But, God damn, man. Brother can't even defend himself?
Mm-mm.
It's crazy. So he's supposed to get his ass whooped, huh?
Mm-hmm.
All right, Mr. White Man. Whoever the police officers are, like, hey, man, they need to go. Call them police officers trash, man. They probably, I guarantee you, they rolled up, either saw a black man with a gun or heard a black man with guns just went into a black man with a gun, we got to kill him. And they probably heard more so heard than saw, so if they saw him, he probably would be dead. So. Yeah. But you sound like you ain't got no more to add to that, though.
No, I don't, because you really like covered it all. it's a fucked up situation.
It is. It is. It's just. It's like, you know. Damn. Again, like some fuck shit like this for real.
Yeah. And that's what, like I said, It ain't that there ain't more to say about it. It's just, you know, then you, at that point, we venture into the realm of beating the dead horse. And,
right.
You know, we've had these conversations time and time again on the show, you know, talking about various issues. And it's just a fucked up situation.
Yeah. Anywho, man, like I say, we don't want to burn it into the ground, but just kind of bring this into light. Let's know here we do our best to talk about the current events and how they affect us, in addition to interviewing people within our community who are resources within our community. So next week we have members from the Black History Month Festival in Tallahassee who are going to come on the show. Give us information about this Black History Month Festival, the who, what, where, when, why, and how of this Black History Month Festival, and why we should care and support it. So y'all make sure y'all tune in next week for that as well. It'll be a good interview. Make sure y'all support the Fix Sports Podcast on Patreon, patreon.com/TheFix. Make sure you all support Lessons from the Screen on Patreon. Patreon.com/LFPS. Lessons from the Screen. Remember, the Fix Sports Podcast will be returning Monday, February 3rd, I believe. Let me look at my calendar just to make sure. That will be up Monday, February 3rd. The Fix Sports Podcast will return. Make sure y'all tune in to the Nick Recep Hour every Friday at 8 o'clock. Freedom Train Network, www.freedomtrainradio.com, or the Enigma September YouTube channel. Make sure y'all tune in every Wednesday for Shelby's World featuring Shelby and Queen Candace. Make sure every Saturday y'all tune in for Lessons from the Screen from Pat. Every Wednesday y'all catch this beautiful show right here, Freedom Train Podcast Series, all up in your forehead. But that's how we do it, man. Bring y'all as much information as possible from my viewpoint, giving to you the way we give to you. I am Joseph Ward. He is Patrick Irvin. Two fingers in the air like a pleasure. We see y'all on the other side, man. We up out of here. Peace out, people.